This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. This is The Morning Run and you're here with Wong Shaoning and Roshan Gunnison joining us from the depths of Petaling Jaya. It has just passed 7:06 in the morning. It is Tuesday, the 27th of October. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Foo Lee Mei, Chief Regulatory Officer at the Securities Commission of Malaysia, on the Corporate Governance Monitor 2020 report. But for now, we're taking a look at global markets, and it's a sea of red. What do you see, Roshan?
Yes, markets were in a sea of red, Shaoning. Like you said, the Dow was down 2.3%, S&P was down 1.9%, and the NASDAQ was down 1.6%. Some big numbers there. And I think on the back of virus numbers and concerns.
Yeah, it's also driven by the fact that, you know, with every passing day, this so-called stimulus plan looks more and more remote. Meanwhile, if we look at Asian markets, it was mixed somewhat. The Nikkei was down 0.1%. Hang Seng was up 0.5%. The Shanghai Composite was down 0.8%. Straits Times Index was 0.6%. And the FBM KLCI closed flat. In fact, I had to double check the number because it was actually just marginally lower by 0.03%. Quite an amazing day considering the political upheaval we had on Friday, and also, probably the outcome of the fact that we have no emergency did help markets. But if I note, the ringgit has become somewhat weaker. But anyway, for some analysis on where global markets are heading, we speak to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Good morning, Joe. I want to ask about US markets last night. They really came under selling pressure. Is this all due to the fact of COVID-19 and also the point that US elections are but just a week away?
Yeah, I think it's convergence of COVID-19 spiking in the U.S. and Europe. No stimulus, that's faded as well from the package. And then the election uncertainty. And I think that's how the next couple of days, maybe the next week, is going to be very choppy seesaw action. But, you know, for investors, remember, we're going to beat COVID-19. We're going to get a stimulus, and the election someday will be behind us. So we would take this opportunity on the pullback to increase exposure in good companies, good sectors.
So what good companies and what good sectors are you looking at, Joe? What interests you at this current moment?
In particular, like cybersecurity, large defense contractors. We still like big technology in the U.S. and China. Healthcare, of course, is out there. You know, anything related to the platform economy in terms of help driving growth and, you know, everything we do in the gig economy. So there's a lot of opportunities, but we're gonna get by COVID. We're gonna get a stimulus, and the elections are gonna fade. So from uncertainty. So that, keep that in mind. And I know we're at the point of maximum pessimism, but that's typically a good time to put your finger in the water, your toe in the water.
And still staying in the U.S., U.S. GDP numbers are expected out this Thursday. What are your expectations?
Well, I mean, if you look at the Atlanta Fed, remember, this would be a backward-looking number. I think it'll confirm that V-shaped recovery. Q2 was horrible, but if you look at the Atlanta Fed, they're looking anywhere from like 35% annualized increase. You know, we're not out of the hole yet. The big issue is Q4, because the stimulus is fading. New home starts are a little bit weaker than expected. So, you know, I think it'll confirm the V-shaped recovery, but that's already priced into equities. I mean, before last Friday or earlier last week, we were only 2-4 percentage points off all-time highs, and that reflected that. Now we're entering a new period of uncertainty. So really, Q4 won't be as strong, obviously, because year-over-year won't be as dramatic. But nevertheless, confirmation that here in the U.S., at least, the economy continues to improve and heal.
Yeah, and if you're talking about recovery, does this mean that you would start looking at some of the sectors like machinery and automotive sector? I mean, especially on the back of Ford and Caterpillar numbers being released this week?
Yeah, the cyclicals in general and the industrials, materials, not necessarily energy. They've got their own problems with renewables taking more of a market share. But we do see more of a cyclical industrial bent to this kind of synchronized expansion. And that we do think the money is going to flow there. And as I said earlier, when it came to the stimulus is not going to get done before the election, but it will be done in the United States. And as COVID-19 rips more through Europe, there'll be more fiscal stimulus coming there as well. So, and, you know, lends itself to growth over value. more technology, more healthcare. There's a big fiscal global spending coming down the pipeline. And I know COVID-19 hasn't been whipped. We haven't won the war yet. But the longer this goes on, the more we're going to spend the policymakers on the fiscal side of the equation. That's bullish for equities and growth.
And Joe, since you mentioned Europe and also earlier on the fact that pandemic cases are rising there, are you nervous about European assets then?
In the sense that, you know, what Europe could be a forerunner for the United States. So we're watching very carefully. Ireland has locked down for 6 weeks. Now we're seeing selected lockdowns in Italy, you know, lockdown like in Germany. We don't expect that here in the United States, but we're seeing the euro lose some traction here. Remember, 50% of what U.S. companies earn overseas in terms of their foreign affiliate income comes from Europe. So if Europe stalls out, becomes the sick man of the global economy, which wouldn't be the first time that's happened, then yes, we've got some problems. But I would argue that there's going to be a much bigger fiscal package coming out of the ECB, the European Commission, as COVID-19 rears its ugly head again in Europe. So that's going to be bullish for equities.
All right. Thank you for your time today. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving us his views on the market, saying that nonetheless, despite the elections, and yes, there might be some volatility, we've got to keep our eye on the future, and the future looks slightly brighter, especially since governments are out to spend money and there will be a lot more fiscal stimulus, not just from the U.S. government, but also from European governments. And I think even from Malaysia, because we're going to head into our budget being tabled on the 6th of November. What were your key takeaways, Roshan?
I mean, my key takeaway was that one sentence he said there, right? We're at a point of maximum pessimism. And I think I think he's using that as a point of looking at opportunities in the market. And some of the things that I was pretty... he pointed out some things like the platforms, right? So I think he means like the gig economy, things like Uber and Lyft and all the other situations, all the other companies like that, like DoorDash as well in the US. Of course, big tech, US and China, big tech, always a favorite, I think, among a lot of analysts. But when it comes to platforms and that merger and that intersection between big tech, one IPO that could be very interesting is Airbnb's, right? Because they filed secretive paperwork.
And like the word secretive.
Yeah. You know, they filed it confidentially with the SEC. No one knows what's happening. No one knows when it's actually going to go public. But it could be this year. So it'd be very, very interesting to see how that does in the public markets.
Yeah, but tech is not doing universally well because yesterday SAP, one of Europe's largest tech companies, reported poor third quarter earnings that fell below market expectations. So total revenue fell 4% to 6.5 billion euros. Cloud and software revenue were down 2%. As a result, operating profit declined by 12%. The only bright spot was its pure cloud category, which grew 11% to nearly 2 billion euro. On top of that, SAP also cut its revenue forecast for the full year and said it expected the fresh wave of COVID-19 lockdowns to hurt demand through the first half of 2021.
Oh yeah, this is a very interesting some set of results to pay attention to, right? Because it's either a bellwether of what to expect or maybe a signaling of some shifting between where corporates are spending their money as well, right? Maybe they're putting more money to work with clients like Microsoft and Amazon in terms of the cloud services, because here we saw cloud revenue, the pure cloud revenue did go up. But the forecast is gloomy, Chani, I think as you mentioned there. And the earnings, when they announced earnings, they wiped out like 35 billion euros from their market cap in a matter of minutes. So the market didn't take very well to this set of results.
Yeah, I think then all eyes will be on the earning results of its software peers, right? Such as Oracle, Workday, Salesforce, which all come out in December. So I guess tech can be good, but depends what segment of tech that you are in, right? So it's not a universal, Yahoo for everybody. Remember Yahoo? Who does?
Yeah, but I think they're owned by Verizon now or something like that.
Yeah, once upon a time, a darling. But meanwhile, looking at another darling or, you know, insurance giant is actually another insurance company is actually AIG. Now, they announced a succession lineup as part of business to simplify its corporate structure and divest its life insurance business. So they have named a new CEO that will assume his position on 1st of March. Now, they're also, what is interesting, is looking to separate its life and retirement businesses, which account for 1/3 of revenue last year. Now, AIG is a rare US insurer that has both sizable life and retirement operations and has a large presence in the property casualty market. But the point is, despite the COVID-19, despite recessions, it looks that capital markets are still busy. Companies are looking at all their assets to divest. Corporate maneuvers still continue nonetheless. So this is to be expected, I guess. But up next, we'll be speaking to Fu Li Mei, Chief Regulatory Officer at the Securities Commission on the Corporate Governance Monitor 2020 report. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.